If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
Listen, that's all I've ever done. I'm not that smart, but I'm a master copier.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
As the owner of Kahuna Investments, Corey has managed and acquired over $95 million in real estate across the country. He is the best-selling author of Copy Your Way to Success, Standing on the Shoulders of Giants, and host of the Multifamily Legacy Podcast. He speaks around the country on this subject, including at Harvard and NASDAQ. Corey, welcome to the show.
Man, thank you for having me, brother.
Man, this is awesome. I'm pumped to have you on today. I'm sure that we will have way more than 20 minutes worth of stuff to talk about. But if you can condense everything you know, possibly into 15 or 20 minutes, you know, if you can just give us an idea of where you started, where you are now, and how you got there.
Yeah, well, where I started was a used car salesman, a kid that didn't have much money, not voted most likely to succeed, barely made it out of high school. And then about 20 years ago, something radically changed that changed my life forever. I went to Hawaii. My mom was married to this man named Bruce. I call him Bruce Wayne. He wasn't Batman, but he was loaded, okay? And it was the first time that I'd saw true wealth of someone that had time and money. Wow. And so he had a beach right on Kauai, or a house right on Kauai, right on the beach. And it was just different. And I remember asking him, like, what do you do? Because he was living a completely different life than I'd ever dreamed of. And then he said the magic words that he was in real estate and that he owned apartments. So this was in like 2002, 2003. I then was like, that's what I want. I actually read the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And all of a sudden it snapped. I'm like, oh my God, that's what Bruce is. He's a real estate investor. And so I kind of made up my mind to go on my journey. And in 2005, I was ready to kind of like push in, and I started my company. And I was thinking, like, what do I name it? And I named it with the end in mind, because I thought Bruce was the big kahuna when I left the island. And so I named my company Kahuna Investments, because I wanted to be the big kahuna just like Bruce. But I started off as a wholesaler. Because I didn't have a whole lot of money. I had a lot of will, and I just figured I could lock up properties and then maybe sell them to people that had money. And that's what I did. I wholesaled. And I started getting into the game of real estate. And what I was really frustrated with is I really wanted to do the deals, because there was a lot more profit, right? If you were to fix them and flip them on your own. And so that was kind of my next major breakthrough, is when I raised my first piece of private money. And I did it totally by accident. So I was playing racquetball with one of my, I used to be a financial advisor. So I actually gotten smartened up, and they said if you could pass the test, you could get a job as a financial advisor. Hardest test I ever studied for, I made a 73 and I passed.
And 70's okay. Passing, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
That's it. 73 is I studied just enough.
Right.
But in that business, I had one of my, when the market crashed, I actually left that business and went real estate full time. But Carl was one of my ex-investors, and I was sharing with him what I was doing as a wholesaler and how I really wanted to, you know, do my own deals and make the big chunk and give the little chunk that I was getting as a fee, wholesaling fee, and pay that to the investor. And so I was like, Carl, do you know anybody? Because Carl lived in a retirement community. And I just figured there had to been some money or somebody that he knew that had some money that wanted to get working a little bit harder, you know, better return. Well, the next day, Carl calls me up and he goes, Corey, you still want to do that 12%? And I was like, of course. And in the back of my mind, I was like, Carl found somebody. But he goes, Corey, you don't know this. My home's totally paid for. I can borrow money at 3%. And you give me 12, I make a spread. How much money do you need?
Wow.
Those are magic words.
That's awesome.
And so like, I took a breath and I was like, Carl, I need $85,000. And there was a slight pause, and he's like, yeah, okay, yeah, where do you want me to send it? And I equate that moment to kind of like going into the telephone booth as Clark Kent. And I spun around that thing and I started like Superman. I raised private money.
So what'd you do with the private money? Where'd you go from there?
Well, so then for me, that was a life shattering moment, because every limiting belief that I had put on myself, you know, am I good enough? Will people trust me? Will they know that, you know, I didn't make great grades? No. And what I found is no one cares.
Right.
Right. If you have a good deal and a good business plan, and I had a little bit of a track record wholesaling, people would invest with me. And so I got really good at raising capital. Within 2 years, I had about $3 million doing single family fix and flips.
Wow.
So I really, and what I found is you just need a story, and you need also need to have what's called a private money program. How did I find one? I Googled it, right? Like most things in life, you Google, you know, give me a private money program and you'll find one to download and make it yours. And that's what I did. And then, so that's, I was doing fix and flip up until about 2010. So this is like 2008 to 2010, fix and flips and wholesaling for a minute till I learned how to raise money. And then the biggest new change in my life was I was actually running myself a little bit ragged doing this single family fix and flip because I was a band of one doing it all.
Sure.
And I was trading my time now for money, and I was actually becoming what I call kind of a bad dad. And I'm a full-time dad. Like, I love my kids watching their games and sports. But what happened was my son was like, "Dad, are you going to be at a game?" And I was like, "I'll be there on Saturday." But in my mind, I was like, "Oh, dude, I got to go look at these properties first." And long story short, man, I let my work get in the way, and I came to the game at the end.
Wow.
And my son came off the field crying, and he said, "Dad, you promised." And dude, I'm going to tell you, that broke my heart.
Sure. It
broke my heart. And I realized, like, what am I doing putting money in front of my family and all the things that I really wanted? That wasn't what Bruce was living, that cash flow life of time and money, right? So actually, I broke down, and I broke myself, and you know, my wife's like, "You better fix it." And I'm driving around, you know, kind of cussing at myself. You know, my son was just, you know, and so it was just a bad moment. And in that, I finally asked God for forgiveness. And that's like when the next magic happened, is I drove by this apartment complex, and I've driven by it a million times. And I used to say, I wish I could own an apartment complex.
Sure.
But in that one moment of brokenness and emptiness, I actually said, how can I own an apartment complex? And once I framed it right, my brain started spinning. It took me about a year to learn how to buy apartments, how to operate it. And I went and found mentors. But in 2011, I bought my first apartment deal for $3.2 million. I raised $1.4 million of private money. I kept that deal for 5 years. I sold it, I think maybe 4 years ago. I sold it for $8.8 million. So I made $4.7 million profit on my first deal. And that deal truly set me free. And now that's what we do full-time, is we own apartments all across the country. And money is not my motivator anymore. So it's a great place.
Man, that's awesome. But I think you've highlighted a couple really key things there. The first was when you shifted from I can't to how. It was a mindset shift, I think. And then the second thing that you did was, I think you mentioned you went and found someone who could coach you in the space. Is that right? So finding a mentor that could teach you the apartment business. Is that kind of how that went down?
Oh, without a doubt. And I believe it wholeheartedly, more now than ever. Two things you got to have in this world is a belief, right? You got to start telling yourself now that I can and I will, and put it out there like you already own it and have it and it's in your life. When I figured out money, that first piece, I then started telling myself that I was a money magnet, and money attracted to me because I knew how to make it grow. And I would tell myself this every day in the mirror. And it wasn't true at the time, but then it eventually became true. And the reason is because I found mentors to say, who's out there raising money? How are they doing it? What tools are they using? I wrote a book called Copy Your Way to Success. And listen, that's all I've ever done. I'm not that smart, but I'm a master copier.
Right.
And that's all you got to do in this world.
Right.
You can, and then find the people that has enough breadcrumbs that here's the path.
Right. Yeah. You know, the phrase success leaves clues. I mean, that's exactly it. And there's no insider trading when it comes to the things that you've learned and then implemented. So it's out there for the taking if you will just go harvest it. So that's really
the
cool.
Lifestyle that it creates, right? So, you know, a lot of times you can look at other mentors too. This is one thing I'd say, like when you're looking at mentors, look at their holistic of who they are. Some people just see some success of a guy, but he's working his, you know, butt off. And maybe when he's not, no one's looking, he's probably a depressed person because he's tied to this machine. And what I did is I was like, man, I want to have true wealth, time and money. Who can teach me that? Because it's a way different space. And it's really through cash flow or passive income. When you have enough passive income coming in, it is a different space and it gives you a different life.
For sure. So once you started acquiring these assets, you're scaling up. So that presents always a new set of challenges anytime you go from one size to the next. I mean, you've really, you know, people say, hey, we're going to get rid of the problems. No, you're just creating new ones. I mean, but hopefully they're more manageable and you're learning to deal with those. So walk us through some of those problems you encountered and how you overcame them.
Well, first is people, right? So as soon as you have more than one, you start building a team, then you realize that, okay, how do I lead people? And you lead people through systems and processes. We didn't have those in the beginning. We failed forward. Okay. A lot of these are, you know, you kind of put it together and, you know, I'm a typical entrepreneur. I jump out the plane, we start building the parachute, right? But what we've come to realize is that we are no better than our systems and our processes. So, and when I say systems and process, I'm talking about written down step one, step two, like McDonald's, right? Of everything that you do in your company. And someone, if someone was to leave in my company tomorrow, I could sit them down and say, this is your position. Here's what you're, you know, here's your job responsibilities. And here's how to do the jobs. One of the most important things we've ever done, and we still do it to this day, is process map. When we create new things that we're doing, we process it, map out, so we can have a, you know, true set of accountability factors for that job.
Wow. And is that a skill set that comes naturally to you, doing that process map?
I suck at it. But listen, you don't have to be good at a lot of things. See, my superpower is I'm a great finder of great people. And listen, for the process mapping, it's called a virtual assistant most of the time. A VA, so if you can create a video and record it like we're doing now on Zoom, you can pretty much say, check this, do that, whatever, whatever. Send that to somebody in the Philippines in a virtual assistant. They can create the checklist with it, right? And get it more mapped out. And then once you have it done, then you can go back and clean up that video to make it very systematic and very teachable, coachable. And that's kind of our process map. So I've never had to do too much of it. Now most of my team handles that. So whenever they have something new, I'm like, go ahead and create the video, send it to our VA, and let's get it documented.
Right, right. That's really cool. So you bought $4 million in real estate. And at this point, I think you said that you have closed and or own over $95 million in real estate. Is that right? That's impressive, by the way. That's amazing growth. So hats off to you. I'm in the same boat as you. I was a terrible student. So hopefully I can emulate, like you said, copy success. I'm going to copy success by reading your book first. Where do we find that, by the way? I do want to make sure we get that in here.
Anywhere you can buy a book online, Amazon, iTunes, iBooks, you know, there's a audio version of it as well.
That's awesome. And the name of that again was Copy Your Way to Success.
So, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yep, sorry. Standing on the Shoulders of Giants.
Right. Yeah. Okay, great. Just want to make sure we got that in there. So if you hear that, go buy and download and read that book. But furthermore, you know, as you scaled and as you grew, like, how did you guys define target markets? How did you find, you know, acquisitions? Like, what are some of the things that you did along the way that you said, hey, man, that's something that we could really employ?
Yeah. So the first step was to say, you know, we did realize that we wanted to be in the Midwest, right? And really the South and the Midwest. So my first deal was in South Carolina. But honestly, I started kind of looking at it was a mixed bag at first. Now we're getting away more, like I own all across the country now. So like Georgia, Louisiana, Indiana, Iowa, I'm in Arizona. So I'm kind of a mixed bag. But what I did was I just found a management company that could handle all that. And so we just find little markets that we like. And then we really, my acquisitions team tries to get all the brokers in that market to know, like, and trust them, right? So that's kind of our particular deal in some of the markets that we like, and they're all over the country. We then find brokers, and we just get on their list initially, and then we start underwriting deals and then start having conversations. And then our biggest, this is a big thing, is how do you have a relationship with a broker?
Yeah.
That's when you can talk about something else other than stupid real estate. And so one of the easiest ways to do this is to say, hey, Sam, what do you like to do for fun? And then Sam gives me the reply,
sure,
which is what?
I like to travel.
great. I love traveling too. Where's the best place you've been? Right. And that's how it works. All of a sudden, now every time I call up the open, if I'm calling Sam, I'm going to be like, hey, dude, where you been lately?
Right.
Right. And that's how we'll start our conversations there, because now we have a relationship. We have a common ground. Now, if you would have said something that I didn't like, I'd be like, well, what else do you like to do? Because I've got to have a true common desire or interest in it as well for it to work.
Right.
Right. So that's the open. And that's how you start having relationships way farther than just the same what most people have is, well, do you got a deal? Do you got a deal? Do you got a deal?
Right.
When we talk, because that's not how normal conversations work. If you're going to call your friend and you got to ask him about something, you don't just go out and call him and ask him. You say, hey, what's going on, man? How's the kids? How's the family? Yada, yada, yada. And then you finally get to the thing. And it's no different in business. It's got to be like that. That's how you know you got a relationship. And those things do matter because they'll get you off market deals.
Right. And it sounds like you guys have used the, as opposed to going out and hunting for your own, doing your own mailings, doing your own, you know, cold calling, all that. You've really kind of shortcutted that process and went direct to brokers, and brokers are bringing you deals directly.
You almost have to when you shop at the 100 plus unit mark.
Right.
You know, for smaller, if you're doing, you know, 10, 12, 20, 25, 30s, you can do direct mail. Those are very effective. Direct mail works really good with smaller units.
Right.
For bigger units, it tends to be a big boy's game. And so you just got to play it the big boy way, which is have some great brokers. Because I'm telling you, if you do it right, it's an unfair advantage. It's unfair. Because listen, if they know, like, and trust you, and you're their friend, when they get that listing, who are they going to call? Right?
You.
They're going to call the Kahuna. Right? Ghostbusters, right? It's it's going to happen. And so it's very unfair if you can, because all the broker wants, he just wants to get paid.
Sure.
He wants the person that he can trust that will transact and get him his commission.
Gotcha.
And once you can prove that to somebody and do it time and time again, that's who they're going to call, like my paycheck.
Right. Oh, yeah. You're going to send the deal to the guy that gets you paid. That's absolutely sure. What, talk to us about
follow the money.
Yeah, follow money. That's absolutely right. Yeah, and find guys that are closing deals too. I mean, that's the other thing. So,
yeah,
you know, lots of nuggets in there. How has 2020 treated your portfolio? What have you guys done to protect it? And kind of what's your outlook? Because none of us really know what tomorrow holds. But like, what are you guys doing to minimize downside risk in today's environment?
Yep. So it's a 50-50 bag right now. So I'm in student housing. Actually, we have 6 active projects right now. 4 of those are student housing and pretty big student housing projects. 2 of them are 45% occupied.
Oh, wow.
Okay, when they're normally 100% occupied. So we are doing bank forbearance right now on those 2 projects. And the banks are working with us. We'll get to next August and next lease up season, and we'll be fine. We've owned some of these projects for a couple of years. We've done really well. But right now, you know, we're not paying a pref to investors on those projects, and it sucks. But I mean, who plans for a world pandemic? Nobody. Okay. Right. So, but that's okay. But my bread and butter, just regular apartment complexes, we've done really well. I mean, we had a property in New Orleans. New Orleans was hard hit, but even through that one, we had like a 15% downward spiral for about 4 or 5 months. And now we're out. Now we're like 92%. So, and with people paying. Right?
Right.
Collections less than 1%.
Right.
Concessions. So we're back to healthy.
Gotcha.
But going forward to protect ourselves, like as far as buying opportunities, dude, the market's so stupid hot and stupid crazy. We're going to do our first development project. So we own a student housing project because now 2 of them are bad, but 2 of them are really good.
Right.
We have one in the state of Georgia in Columbus. And that one, we're going to do a new build construction. And I think this is where it makes sense because I'm seeing a lot of deals that are like 1970s product trading for like 5.5 caps. And like, that's for an old building, 1970s, when I can build a 2020 product and get a 5 cap, maybe a 4 cap. Like,
wow.
So I think the market's overpriced personally. I'm waiting for something to happen, but I'm just being very cautious and very optimistic, buying fixable broken problems. Bad
right.
management, deferred maintenance.
Yeah, no, that makes all the sense in the world. That's awesome. Let's jump into our final four, because I think we're running out of time, unfortunately, and this has been a blast. So the final four questions are this. If you were to distill everything you know down to one piece of advice and you're giving it to an aspiring investor, what would that one piece of advice be?
To believe in yourself no matter what, and to tell yourself that you're great daily. The biggest changes in my life is when I committed to an idea and I sold out wholeheartedly. When you do that and burn every bridge along the way, that is the definition of being an entrepreneur, because your roadblocks are going to happen no matter what. And it's your belief in the outcome that will solve those problems for you.
That's awesome. That's a great word. What is one thing that you are currently doing to stay on top of your game?
I belong to a lot of masterminds, right? So I believe in a big think tank philosophy. A high tide rises all boats. So I try to network with other like-minded in different aspects. I've got one as a business group, and then I got one that's just a multifamily group. So in those two masterminds, I grow tremendously and learn what's going on all across the country, because these people are usually from all over the United States.
Right. No, that's awesome. And that's one, you know, that's commonly neglected, because obviously you can spend a lot of time spinning your wheels in the wrong environments. But I think that's one that easily gets written off. But I hear that over and over, is that getting in the right mastermind is really a lot bigger deal than what people give it credit for. When it comes to giving back, when it comes to giving back, what is one way that you are making the world a better place?
I call it the supplier of fun. So my goal in life and my drive is not money anymore, but it is called supplier of fun. And what does that mean? You know, last year we took all of my neighbors. We've lived in the same neighborhood for 12 years. We've got kids. Our kids have raised up with all our neighbors' kids. And so we took those neighbors to Hawaii and supplied the fun. And they bought their tickets, but I paid for everything else, the housing and all our stuff and all our activities. And to me, that's the greatest gift is to give other people experiences.
Right, right. Collect experiences, not things, man. The supplier of fun. I like that a lot. We'll have to put that one down in the titles list. Corey Peterson, the supplier of fun. Corey, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, and also, where do you live again so I can become one of your neighbors?
I live in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay, good, good, good. So I'll just poof in next door. We'll look forward to going to Hawaii. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Two ways to find us, kahunawealthbuilders.com. That's our teaching platform. And then honestly, by listening to our podcast as well, a multifamily legacy podcast, where we teach everything that I know.
Man, that's awesome. Corey, thanks for taking the time to come on today. I certainly appreciate it. Been a great guest. I've learned a lot from you. You guys have a great rest of your week and look forward to connecting again soon.
Rock and roll, bro.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.